very much like a coin with two faces. One side is comforting, and the other side is disturbing or challenging. And these two roles or ministries have also been called priestly and prophetic. The priestly role of the church is to preach the gospel, to reconcile people, to lead people in worship, to help build up the faith that leads to glory. Now that, of course, is a great mission. And nowhere is it more beautifully expressed than in today's gospel, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." There are, however, still some people who think that this kind of comforting ministry is enough for the church to do. They'll say, "Just teach us to pray, lead us in worship, and get us to heaven." But the truth is that we are not free to preach or to live only by one half of the Holy Bible. The holy prophets speak for God when they call for justice, just as truly as the prophets speak when they assure us of the mercy of God. To know me is to know justice. That's a very blunt statement from the prophet Isaiah. And what about the prophet that we heard today in the first reading, who spoke so poetically about putting away the weapons of war? The prophet today spoke about the Messiah, the one whom we have come to know as Jesus. And whereas the gospel today presents Jesus as the comforter, the prophet presents Jesus as the challenger. He challenges a society that, at the time of the prophet, believed in war, continued to maintain its armies, even as we maintain armies today, and they thought then, as most people do now, that war is inevitable. The Messiah comes, the prophet tells us, as the one who will bring shalom, healing peace, the call to live in peace and in justice. But of course, at this point, we need to become bluntly realistic, to acknowledge that that kind of peace really has not prevailed very much in these last 20 centuries since our Messiah came. Why not? Simply because violence is very much a part of us. War has been accepted as a way of life. It has become more natural than peace. If ever there was a time that man once lived in some kind of original innocence, it obviously did not last very long. The story of Cain and Abel reflects really the story of the human race, except that Cain no longer calls Abel his brother. And Cain uses more than a club today to threaten his brother with death. And before we people today even begin to do the work of the kingdom to which we are summoned by the word of Jesus, we must first take full measure of the problem that confronts us, the violence that is still within us people, within ourselves today, and in our society. Any talk of ending disarmament or the system of war really faces a more formidable task than any other social movement in history. For centuries, war has been simply accepted as a way of life, even by our so-called Christian countries. War has been glamorized and glorified. There are, yes, genuine heroes in wartime. No one will ever deny that fact. But our problem today is much, much deeper than that. It is the willingness to accept violence, even to lust after it, and to assume that killing each other is really destined to go on forever. We find it hard to see how much we really have accepted violence and praised the way of the warrior, not praised the way of the peacemaker. Because, one, we do not really wish to discredit the women and men in the armed forces, and two, the glorification of war and violence runs all through our culture. Not many now dispute the judgment that violence is as American as cherry pie. It is hard to dispute it when we now kill over 12,000 people in a single year with handguns. Today, the love of violence, the cult of the gun, the machismo image of battle are still very much with us. But there is hope today. As we should all know, most of us, I hope, with a sense of real pride, the American Catholic bishops did take this challenge in hand. And when they defended their right to speak on the danger of nuclear war, they said that they were concerned as Americans and as members of the human race and as ministers of the Holy Gospel. They, the bishops of America, and we now, all of us, as members of the human race, we are all followers of the same Messiah who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And this Messiah, Jesus, the one who shall proclaim peace to the nations. And what is the bottom line to that letter our bishops wrote called The Challenge of Peace? The bishops gave their informed judgment that the use of nuclear weapons is immoral, that to threaten to use them is immoral, that to even possess them is tolerable, but only if we plan, really plan, to get rid of them. And so once again, in a realistic fashion, we have to ask, how? When we have worked our way into such an evil situation as we are today, there simply is no quick way out of it. Or even to proceed hastily or unilaterally simply might bring on an even worse danger, or the very conflict that we are seeking to avoid. There simply is no way, they tell us, except to negotiate, to seek new treaties of arms limitations, as we have in the past. And if we move away from war, how then do we plan to go on living in this imperfect, broken world? We need a substitute for war. And there's only one that is possible. It is the ongoing negotiation of disputes between the nations by some agreed-upon authority. Now, there are two reasons why, in this day and age, it actually might come to pass. The first reason is maturity. At least in theory, we people today, through this ongoing evolutionary process in which we are caught up, We have come of age. We are old enough and wise enough to know that we finally must learn how to live together on this planet. And secondly, the threat of total war or annihilation reminds us that we really do not have any other choice today. And for us Christian people, there is a third reason. We are not alone in seeking to do this work. As Paul told us today in the second reading, in our flesh, our personal flesh, each one of us has received the Holy Spirit, of which Paul speaks about. In this Spirit of the living God, the Messiah of whom the prophets speak, we are promised his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now that does not mean that we shall set up a new Christendom or conquer the world for Christ, as once some people thought. But it does mean that today, thank God, we do have, finally, a world view. We are a global village. We do have a value system, a theology that affirms that our Christ is Lord and that he does have dominion over our lives and the desires of our hearts. And when we work to bring about disarmament and world peace, we people today have many motives: survival, common sense, the thought of our children, the waste of precious resources, the cries of all those hungry people who could be fed. But there's still another reason, a more compelling reason why we people today must accept this challenge, as well as this comfort of the Holy Gospel. Why we must listen and not close our ears any longer to the words of the prophets. The work of peace, to put it as simply as possible, is the will of the living God for us. He through us shall proclaim peace for the nations. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Thank you.
Let us pray. Celebrate.